الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. درود شریف اللہ. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, inshallah ta'ala, in tonight's session of Darsi Hadith, we will talk on the subject of jihad. Jihad of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is the consensus of all the scholars that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an it is the consensus of all the scholars that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an is that grand sahabi who has never ever missed out from any of the battles, jihad, conquests with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is privilege given to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And from day one, he was always there with Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam everywhere he went. In fact, in some of the battles in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not partake, he was not part of that jihad, then he would appoint Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq as Amir-e-Jaish. He would lead the armies. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an was a powerful man, very strong, courageous, and a warrior, and a great mujahid. Mujahid in Islam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam kept him extremely close to him. Whenever Sallallahu alayhi wasallam needed to take counsel from his companions, mashwira, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would first take the opinion of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. In fact, it became such a norm for the companions that whenever Sallallahu alayhi wasallam would ask for an opinion, all the companions would remain quiet. That would include even Hazrat Umar Farooq. And they would wait for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq to give his opinion. And when Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and would give his opinion, only then the rest of the companions would speak out. This is also the adab, the tartib, that when seniors are there and experienced people are there, those who are extremely great in their knowledge, in their taqwa, then they should be the first ones to answer. They are the privileged people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Anzilu an-nasa manazilahum." To recognize the rank of each individual is an art. That is why we see some very foolish people who will want to speak with all individuals in the same tone, in the same manner. That for them everybody is equal. Subhanallah al-Azim. That person is an ill character person. This is not the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do ri'ayat, and he would make sure that the person in front of sallallahu alayhi wasallam had full information of that person, and that was the manner of how the companions would communicate with each other. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would get an answer from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, then the doors were open for anybody else to speak. Usually it was always the opinion of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq or Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam would take. So not only were both of them related as father-in-laws to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but also close advisors to Hadrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We see that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the Muhajireen, when they migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, Madinatul Munawwara was a place of refuge, a safe haven for the Muslimin, a central point for the believers. And this would make the kuffar, especially mushrikeen in Makkah, they would burn in their hasad deep inside, that now Muslims have got another city, and in that city full power and authority is given to them. Why the Ansari all surrendered to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they gave full power to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Qurbani, the sacrifice of the Ansar, is incredible. They gave everything to their Muhajirin brother, business, family, whatever they owned, it was shared by the Muhajir who came with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So for the Kuffar to see the Muslims gaining strength by the day was difficult to take in. And the very first battle that took place in Madinatul Munawwara, which was the battle of Badr, that battle, the jihad of Badr, was an incredible event in the history of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described that day as Yawmul Furqan. Furqan ka mana hota hai, the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates, distinguishes between haqq and batil. The mu'mineen, the muslimeen, and those who are kuffar. So that day is described as Yawmul Furqan, the day of Furqan. So it was an incredible moment for the muslimeen. It was not a battle that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam premeditated for. It was not meant to be a full-scale war with the kuffar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for that to happen, and whatever Allah wills happens. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a Nabi, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with divine knowledge. He knew exactly what strategy to enforce at the right time. When he got the information that Abu Sufyan, who was the tycoon of Makkatul Mukarramah, one of the key individuals, key figures that would finance the mushrikeen of Makkah, and Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and all the senior leaders of the kuffar were nothing compared to him. When you look at the wealth that Allah had given Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan at that time was not a Muslim. His caravan was coming back to, returning back to Makkatul Mukarramah, and the route that they would take is via Madinatul Munawwara, not into the city, but they would cross the borders of Madinatul Munawwara, and they would stop in an area to graze their animals, and that land would belong to the Ansari companions. So Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that the caravan of Abu Sufyan is coming, and that was full of goods, merchandise. In fact, some have said that even weapons were in it. Everything was there, because he was the main man who gave finance to the mushrikeen to fight the Muslim. He was the one who provoked the situation in Makkatul Mukarramah, and those that were poor, slaves, Muslimin, they were punished in Makkatul Mukarramah because of the power of Abu Sufyan that was there. And those that were well-to-do, they all migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave an order that I want you to attack the caravan and to capture all the merchandise in the caravan and bring it back to Madinatul Munawwara. This was meant to be something of a deterrent, to instill awe and fear in the hearts of the kuffar, that Muslims are still powerful, Muslims are still strong. And this was immediately, only 2 years after the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Abu Sufyan found out that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's intention is to attack the caravan. Who is Abu Sufyan? Abu Sufyan's daughter, Umme Habiba, is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She embraced Islam, but Abu Sufyan did not. Not at that time. Allah gave him hidayat later on during the conquest, Fatah of Makkatul Mukarramah. It is said that, as Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi has written in his most beautiful kitab, Fazail Amal and Hikayat al-Sahaba, there is no second kitab that can be compared to his kitab, Hikayat al-Sahaba. It's been translated in English also. In there he quotes that Umme Habiba's father once came to visit the daughter, and the father is Abu Sufyan. As he came to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not in the hujra, and the daughter was there. So Abu Sufyan came and he greeted the daughter very quickly. What he did was that he sat on the bedding of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As he was about to sit, Umme Habiba quickly rushed and she said that, no, you can't sit here, wait. And she folded the beds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the bedding, and said to her father, Ab, that you should sit outside there.
Masha.
Abu Sufyan, a rich, wealthy, multi-millionaire, if not a billionaire of Makkatul Mukarramah. Everything was owned by him. All the caravans, 80% was owned by him. A man who would import and export, famous. Just like the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. He said to the daughter that I travel all this way to meet you, and this is the hospitality you give to your father. And what does she say? She looks at the father and she says, oh my father, you are my father, but you are not worthy to sit on the blessed bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You are impure. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجِسٌ, that the polytheists, the mushrikeen, they are impure, they are napak. So to me you are impure, to me you are napak, najasat. The father looked at this and he just went out. This was the love that not only male companions but even female companions had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Unprecedented blind love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The slight dishonor, even in the words, it was difficult for the companions to take in. If you remember once, Abu Quhafa, the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, said something with regards to the status and honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the words that he chose were not befitting the lofty status of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq slapped the father one shot, pura, and he fell down, and he went to complain to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that what do you teach my son? Do you teach my son that he should ill-treat and slap his father? But this was the love. They could tolerate anything. For the sake of Allah, they had a lot of sabr. But when it came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was the limit. And this is iman. And this is the difference between kufr and iman. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, who you love, you shall be with him on the day of Qiyamah. So if you love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you would be with him. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, in his rule, when he was a governor and Amir in Syria, remember that Darul Khilafah had moved from Madinatul Munawwara towards Syria for a long period of time, and there was a man whose name was Hazrat Qabis. Hazrat Qabis had striking features that looked like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Amir Muawiyah would invite him frequently. Every second, third day, Amir Muawiyah would send someone and would say that, go and call Qabis. And Hazrat Qabis would come. Amir Muawiyah would see him, and Amir Muawiyah would stand up and would kiss Hazrat Qabis on the forehead, and he would say that, when I see you, you remind me of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That your face is like Rasulullah sallallahu. He was a very pious man sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and every time Hazrat Qabis came, he would give him gifts. And today, what do we do? When our brothers from Tablighi Jamaat, they come and knock on the door, the son looks, oh mom, it's one of those guys again, you know. Tell him your daddy's not in. Tell him your daddy's not in. And especially when the Chanda people come and they knock on the door and they say, no, we don't trust you. Where is this money going? This and that. Subhanallah al-Azim. But these were great people. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an would give him hadiya every time. Why? Because he looked like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Incredible people. They loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their love for Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was completely different. We can't even imagine. Even if we read, we don't have that power to understand the ikhlas they had for the sake of Allah and for the sake of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Sufyan was the father of Habiba, and his caravan was coming. When Abu Sufyan found out that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's plan is to attack the caravan, he quickly sent someone to Makkatul Mukarramah, and Abu Sufyan wrote a letter to them, to Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, and all the kuffar, that look, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intention is to take everything that I have here in the caravan. So I need you to come to my aid quickly. And this is the best opportunity if we are going to crush Muslim power, Muslim authority, for they have only stayed in Medina for 2 years. So they are still weak. And they were anticipating that there might be some differences of opinion between the Muhajireen and the Ansar when it came to jihad. Because the Ansar had promised Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will give you every safety in Madinatul Munawwarah. And they knew that. So the caravan was not in Madinatul Munawwarah, but on the outskirts of Madinatul Munawwarah. So they were thinking that this is the best opportunity. When the kuffar got this information, they could not refuse Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was the main man. Abu Sufyan gave them everything. It was also like bribery. So they were prepared. They came armed to the teeth. Everything, armor, the archers were there, horses were there, camels were there. In their time, whatever you would say, technology and modern weapons, everything was gathered. Strong team, men of 1,000 marched out of Makkatul Mukarramah to fight against the Muslims. Now this was not even meant to be a full-scale war. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam just meant touch and go. Take the caravan and let the people go, so it may be a warning for the kuffar. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got the information that the kuffar have marched out from Makkatul Mukarramah, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered the elite companions, all the muhajireen and the ansari companions were there. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew what the muhajireen would say. So Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam said to them that the mushrikeen have come out from Makkah to wage war against the Muslimin. What is your opinion? Muhajireen, all of them stood up and they said that we are prepared and we will fight all the way. And the Ansar remained quiet. Now the Ansari companions were thinking that if the Muhajireen have said that we are ready, that means it is one voice for all. But Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face to the right where the Ansari companions were and repeated the words. But this is what I want. Do all of you agree? And it was again the Muhajireen saying yes. And Hazrat Sa'ad bin Mu'az understood very quickly and he stood up. Ya Rasulullah, maybe you are alluding to the Ansari companions. We assure you, O Prophet of Allah, that if you tell us to cross the sea, we shall cross the sea on your command. We shall not question you. We are with you, prepared to fight you, to fight with you, to fight the kuffar in Medina or outside Madinatul Munawwara. You see, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face changed, subhanallah, and Hazrat Miqdad stood up on behalf of the Ansari companions and says, Ya Rasulullah, we are not like the Jews of Musa alayhi salam. We are nahnu lasna bi bani Israel. We are not like the Banu Israel, the children of Israel, who said to Musa alayhi salam, izhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun. You and your Lord, O Musa, go into the city. Faqatila, you fight. Inna hahuna qa'idun. We are sitting behind. So we are not that. We will come with you and we will support you fully. Subhanallah al-Azim. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a smile to give to the Ansari companions and the Muhajireen. All of them were ready. Now, from Makkatul Mukarramah, a team of 1,000 men, kuffar, fully armed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's army, how many? 313. It is an incredible number. 313 is the main adad number which the amil use in their ta'weez. The companions stood up, all of them, 313. And the night before, the month of Ramadan, some of the mu'arrikhin have said 14th of Ramadan, Yawmul Jumu'ah, Friday. Some have said 17th of Ramadan, ala ikhtilaf al-ra'y. In the night, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is close to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his musalla, praying, very much involved, deep into that communication in with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his dua. And the words that are mentioned in the books of ahadith, Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, Allahumma anjiz li ma wa'attani. Allah, favor me with the promise you give me. Favor me, fulfill for me the promise that you have promised me. Allahumma anjizli ma wa'attani. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Allah, fa innaka an tuhlaka hazihi al-isaba min ahli al-islam falan tu'bad abada. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, that, O Allah, if your decree is that this band of Muslimin, 313, the only beacon of light and Iman and Islam at that time, if you decree for them to perish, then Allah, you will not be worshipped in this dunya. Yeah. You will not be worshipped in this dunya. This was the level of concentration in the dua. So much dua, that Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his chadar covering the shoulders. That chadar, that covering, that shawl also came down. And he was crying and weeping and saying, Allahumma anjizli ma wa'attani. Allahumma anjizli ma wa'attani. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and could not bear. The next day was the fight, Yawmul Furqan. He came and he sat next to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Again you see that closeness. Who would come so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? Who deserved khilafat? Who can take the place of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq? Abu Bakr Siddiq lifted up that portion of the chadar and put it back onto the shoulders and whispered into the ears, Kafaka ya Rasulullah. It is sufficient, O Prophet of Allah. Your Lord has listened to you. Your Lord will listen to you. I have no doubt that the dua you have made, Allah will listen to you. Victory is for the Muslimin. Victory is for the Muslimin. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped. And then he stood up and he said to the companions, and look at the miracle, the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the companions and he said, so and so leader of the kafir, he will die here on this spot. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed them. Wo jo kisi ka intikal, wo kisi ko mark dete hai na, wo the CID, you know, they make that marking of that dead person. Like that, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually marking it, that this leader, mushrik, will be here. And he said to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, come here, look. That leader will be here, he will be here, he will be there, he will be there, that person will be there, that person will be there. Wallahi al-azim, my respected brothers and elders, muhaddiseen have said, not a millimeter of difference from where Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam pointed. At the end of the battle, every kafir was there, in that state, died in that manner where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed out that this is where he will be.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. This is the mu'jiza of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the day started, the battle between the Muslims and the Kuffar, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great mujahid himself. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam first decided that I will be right in the front line. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, going back to the 7th century, warfare was a bit different fighting. It was sufuf, one saf to another saf, one saf to another saf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that in the Quran. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the saf of those who come to the masjid, who are believers. And another saf Allah likes, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا. And this saf is the name of one surah in the Quran, Surah Saf in the 28th Mara. صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ. Subhanallah. So that saf is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huzur alayhi salam, first, this is the first battle, Ansari Muhajireen are there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there. The Muhajireen, the Ansari companions, came close to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, our mashwara is that you remain behind and we want you to we'll pitch up a tent for you on the top where the slope of the hill is, so that you can have an overview, a complete view of the battlefield, and from there you can tell us what you want us to do. So this will be the best strategy. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took their mashwara, went back, and who was the bodyguard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did Rasulullah need a bodyguard? No, he did not need a bodyguard. But this was the closeness. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's personal bodyguard was none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. A single man, Hazrat Ali would say to his congregation that who is the most brave and courageous from the companions, and all of them would say, Anta, you, Asadullah, the Lion of Allah, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, no. The most brave and courageous is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. I have seen him that he was making tawaf of the shelter of Rasulullah, protecting Rasulullah from the archers and protecting him from snipers and protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from all directions. with one sword walking round and round, making sure nobody comes. And the kuffar knew exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. So they wanted to break the wall of the Muslimin to go straight to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the one man was protecting Huzur alayhi salam, that was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Inshallah, I won't take much of your time. In the time of Rasulullah, fighting warfare was a bit different. It was a lot about pride and power and strength. Aajkal to kya hota hai? They sit in their palace and let them go. Jaate hai bichare. Find any old man from the street, train him for 6 months, put him in the front line, go. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, tartib. And when you see these Orientalists and all these Westerners criticizing Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's strategy of jihad, and it was always more on the defensive side to protect the boundaries and the hudud of Islam. And there are so many conditions before any army would be mobilized to any territory, any country. So there are laws, inshallah. Maybe if we have time, we will cover that also. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there. Mushrikeen formed a line, Muslimin formed a line, and they would take one step out from the front saf, and the kuffar would boast and say, "Man, who wants to wrestle us?" And three or four or five would come forward, and nobody would fight. First it was a fight between the individuals. Three came out, Utbah, Shayba and Walid, powerful wrestlers of the Qurayshi people at that time with their sword. And they said, "We come out first, we challenge the Muslimin." 313 to 1,000, they were so confident, so confident. Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, in the next session we will talk about some of the jinns also. Three of them came out, and three of the Ansari companions came out. Look at the arrogance and pride of the kuffar. When they looked at the Ansari companions coming out from the saf to fight them, they said to them that, "Who are you? You are not from Makkah, we don't even recognize you. Have you ever fought in a battle? Do you know what fighting is? We want three that are equivalent to us. We are. It would be shameful for us to fight you." This was takabbur to the limit. Huzur alayhi salatu was salam looked at them and said to them, "Right, three of the Ansari go back." Now, who does Huzur alayhi salatu was salam choose? His family members. Who? Close family members of Rasulullah in the front line to go and fight first. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks and he says, "Ya Ali, stand up." Ali stood up, subhanallah, with his sword. Hazrat Ali would only want that. Hazrat Umar Farooq was very different. Hazrat Umar Farooq wanted to be there in the middle of everything. It is said that when the kuffar would persecute the Muslims in Makkah, Hazrat Umar Farooq wanted to be part of that, so that he would feel that I am also being rewarded by Allah. But nobody would bully him. So he would actually go and knock on the doors of the kuffar and say, "Look, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, what are you going to do?" So they would actually look at Hazrat Umar Farooq and shut the door. Now who wants to mess around with Hazrat Umar Farooq? So this is what he would do. He was so sincere and honest. He would actually, if he saw once Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq crying with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he came from behind. He says, "Ya Abu Bakr, tell me why you are crying. If it is a good reason that you are crying, then I will also cry, because I don't want to be deprived from the good deeds that you are earning. And if I can't cry, then I will make a face like someone who cries." So Abu Bakr Siddiq, so this was his nature. He wanted to be part of everything. So when he saw on one side Hazrat Bilal being punished, so and so slaves being punished, Hazrat Umar Farooq would walk in the streets of Makkah untouched. They knew very well that he was a Muslim, but untouched. Nobody would come close to him. So he found that very strange. He thought that maybe there's something wrong with my iman. So he would actually go and knock on the doors of the kuffar and say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ajeeb sahaba-i kiram ajma'in. So he said, Hazrat Ali, stand up. Hazrat Ali with his sword, and his sword was very, very heavy. They say that some of the companions who carried the heaviest swords, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, famous for his sword, massive sword. Hazrat Ali's sword was very heavy. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an sword was very, very heavy. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an was an expert. It is said that he would never ever climb onto the back of an animal if the animal was in one position. He would make sure that the horse was running or the camel was running, and whilst in that state of speed, he would jump onto the animal. And he was an archer also, very strong people. So Ali took out his sword. And when they saw, Utbah, Walid, Shayba saw that Hazrat Ali has come out. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Hamza, stand up. And Hazrat Hamza stood up. And Hazrat Hamza was the partner of who? Huzur Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Both Hazrat Hamza and Huzur Alayhi Salatu Wasalam would train in the front yard of Masjid Nabawi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Asr Salah. He was the one who would carry the two-sided blade, Dodhari Talwar. Hazrat Hamza stood up. And then there was one more position. All the companions were there. Possibly it's me. Possibly it's me. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ubaidah, you stand. So now, these were all muhajireen, equal to the mushrikeen who they wanted. And this is who they wanted. So the three in front and the three of the mushrikeen, it is said that the battle started. And nobody, they were fair, nobody would do anything until the fight between the three was at a complete. Whoever died, died. If a Muslim or Shahidi was Shahid. It is said that Hazrat Ali took on the first fight, and Hazrat Ali very quickly killed that kafir. Hazrat Hamza came, Hazrat Hamza killed also that kafir. Now 313, 1,002 already dead. Now Hazrat Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an had Utbah to fight. Utbah was also strong, Hazrat Ubaidah was also strong. Both of them injured each other and both of them fell down on the ground, injured. So Hazrat Ubaidah is on the ground, injured completely, and Utbah, Mal'un, he is also on the ground. And nobody was there. The two kafirs were dead also. Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali came and they picked up Hazrat Ubaidah and put him on one side. And they came and they killed the third kafir that was there. But Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, and eventually he also passed away and was shaheed in that injury that he had received. So only then now the battle starts between the Muslimin and the Kuffar, inshaAllah ta'ala. If Allah wills, we will continue with this in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khairur rahimin. Rabbi ighfir wa arham wa anta khairur rahimin. Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.